Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. So another year has rolled by and it's time to do our annual check-in with Dave Rothacker to get his top business books for last year. Dave is the most prolific reader I know. Every year I invite Dave onto our podcast to give us his top business books that he read the previous year. Before we get into that, let me just tell you a little bit about Dave. Dave is an author, coach, and a consultant. Dave was honored with our Industry Servant Leader Award. This is only given to those with a lifetime of outstanding service to others. I think it speaks really highly of Dave and tells you the kind of person he is, that he won this. He has just done so much for other people in our industry. So well-deserved and an amazing award. He is an advisory board mentor for ServiceNation Alliance. He does a ton of stuff with the GoTime Success Group. It's a terrific group of people that he works with there. He writes the weekly Saturday Rabbit Hole for Service Roundtable members. If you haven't read that, you ought to. It's thought-provoking. I look forward to getting it every week. So Dave Rothacker, welcome back to Profiles in Prosperity.
Oh, thank you, David. We've got quite a streak going here, and I always look really forward to doing these.
Well, the people who listen to this podcast do as well. They tell me that it's one of their favorites that we do. And this is the ninth time you've been on this podcast. Every year since I started this podcast, you've been a guest reviewing books, giving recommendations. And as I mentioned, so many people talk about it and say how much they appreciate it. And frankly, as personally, I've read a number of books that you recommended that I probably wouldn't have found on my own. So I appreciate it. Thanks for that. And I know the listeners of Profiles in Prosperity appreciate it as well. So I ask you for the top three business books of 2023. And as usual, you hedged on it. I think you've got four for us. Is that right?
Right. Oh, yeah. It's like your favorite children, David. I mean, how do you narrow it down, man?
Yeah, a lot of great books. Okay, so are these in any particular order?
Well, they are in an order, but it's not necessarily first favorite to say fourth favorite, but there is a little bit of an order, and I'll explain that in a minute.
Okay, let's get into it.
So the first two books are written by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy, and the titles are Who Not How and The Gap and the Gain. And these two books have more of a solid takeaway, something that you can actually use and make a huge impact on others and in your career. And David, you always ask me for actionable takeaways. And these two books have a very, very simple actionable takeaway. And the key is to actually doing it. As with any quality book out there, learning is one thing, but if you don't do anything with what you're learning, then it's kind of a moot point. But the first book is Who, Not How. And it's a very, very simple premise. And here it is. If you're tasked to do something and for a multitude of reasons, you choose to engage someone else to help you or to do it, that's where the who, not how comes from. Who, meaning who can you enlist to handle something that is not generally these somethings that you're enlisting people to handle are not in your wheelhouse. If you were to try to do it yourself, you would waste an inordinate amount of time. So enlisting others, instead of how to do it yourself, you enlist another to who. That's the who, they do it. In a nutshell, that really is the book. You start incorporating that mindset right away and it'll change lives as far as that goes.
I think all of us have had the experience where you start working on something and you realize, oh, this is not something I'm good at. And it's our natural inclination just to try and do stuff ourselves. But if you can turn it over to somebody else, you can just leverage your success, right?
Exactly. And one other tie into the book is from a leadership perspective, and the authors put emphasis on, as a leader, creating a very clear vision for their company or whatever it might be, but create a very clear vision. And when you do that, as you work towards it, you'll just be better prepared to enlist the who's to help you accomplish that vision.
Yeah, it kind of gives you a guidance, right?
Exactly. So that's the book, Who, Not How.
Another thing that struck me about that is, you know, there's this expression, and it's kind of cynically used. It's who you know, not what you know. And as I said, you know, people use that sort of cynically. But I think it's true. Who you know is really important, but not in a cynical way, because you really do need other people to be successful. No man is an island. Who you know and who can help you is really important.
Yeah. That really hits the nail on the head with that, for sure.
The title mentioned accelerating teamwork. So does this give good teamwork techniques also?
It's more in choosing people, but not necessarily in the execution of the work.
Okay.
So it's more about, it could be building a team. It could be enlisting people to help you in certain areas. Let me give you an application of this that I just heard yesterday from Lori Scholl, owner of Eagle Pipe and Mechanical, Service Station Alliance member.
And Women of the Year. Yeah.
Yeah. And president of Women in HVACR. Here is a businesswoman who has a lot on her plate. And she told us something yesterday in our advisory board group in Service Station Alliance. And I was just tickled pink. And Lori said, I hired a virtual assistant. Well, I've been in this leadership community. I was in a leadership community in the early 2000s. There were people in this community that were on the very leading edge of a few different disciplines. Ironically enough, podcasting is one of them. We had some of the very first podcasters back in 2004, 5, 6, right around there. The other one was virtual assistants. We had two or three people who were some of the first people in that industry to create companies with the whole virtual assistant. Well, ever since then, I've been trying to encourage leaders to hire virtual assistants. And over the last few years, I feel like my message is falling on deaf ears. So I haven't really been as adamant about it. But yesterday, listening to Lori and how excited she was, and she's already been using this person for a couple of weeks, I think, and she's already got results and she's blown away by it. And just hearing her enthusiasm, it encourages me more. I'm probably going to get back on the bandwagon with it, but it is a classic example of who, not how.
Yeah, great advice.
So the second book, The Gap and the Gain, also written by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. Just for a little bit of backstory, Dan Sullivan is a world-class business coach, and Dr. Benjamin Hardy is like a high-level psychologist. Benjamin Hardy writes the books and uses Dan's coaching material. A lot of it is incorporated in these books. So that's kind of their background. The gap and the gain. The gap is when we're in a negative area. Nothing is ever good enough. When we measure a situation, we measure it by an ideal in our mind, not our actual progress that we're making. When you're in the gap, every experience is negative. We don't learn from our lessons when we're in the gap. We have an unhealthy attachment to external sources when we're in the gap. And when I tie it into the gain, you'll see that this is a mindset. It really is a mindset in how you approach basically life and business. In the gain, we value our experience. We measure our own progress. We are our own reference point, not Bob's heating and air conditioning down the road. We are our own measuring point. Coach John Wooden, most famous basketball coach and my favorite of all time, coached the UCLA Bruins back in the 60s, and he could really care less about the competition. His main objective was to coach his team to get better and better and better. And that's a prime example of using ourselves as our own reference point. An example of the gap and the gain, being in the gap or being in the gain, may be where, let's just say, for instance, we went through a 5 or 10 year period of just utter chaos in our business career. Things weren't working. A lot of negative impacts across the board, like a 10-year funk, if you will. Now, if we look back on that and we look at the lessons learned from those experiences, we're putting ourselves in the gain. We're moving away from that negative vibe of that 10-year period. And in retrospect, we're putting ourselves in the gain. It's actually a project that I'm working on right now for my own personal use. But in reframing my career, there was a lot of what I would have called negative activity. And I'm right now as we speak, reframing that from the lessons that I learned along the way. So that's an example of being in the gap and the gain.
That's really great. I remember reading years ago that it's natural for people to compare themselves to other people. And I said that the problem with that is you can always find people that are more successful than you are. And if you compare yourself to them, you feel bad about yourself. You can always find people who are less successful than you are, compare yourself to them, and maybe you'll feel better about yourself. But all that is wasted. What you really need to do is compare yourself to your former self. Are you doing the things you need to be doing to improve over time? Sounds like it's kind of a similar concept.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly that. Concentrate on yourself and frame your experience into the gain of it. It's a mindset. And the takeaway, it's simply framing your experiences in the gain. And consequently, we don't want to have to wait 10 years and go back and reframe things. Another lesson in the book is to live in the moment in the gain. So that makes your journey more fruitful and you don't have to go back and, you know, reframe things.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's the gap in the gain. Next book is Awaken Your Genius by Ozan Baral. And this book is about the genius that we have inside. And the way the author describes genius is it's our attendant spirit, meaning our internal spirit. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're a genius by academic standards. It's our internal spirit. And most of the time, people are kind of on the hamster wheel of business and life, and they're not attending to that inner spirit, meaning that they're not pursuing growth. They're not learning about themselves, you know, that sort of thing. What he talks about throughout the book is getting to know yourself better, stopping and really understanding yourself and really mining your own knowledge. We have a Library of Congress worth of knowledge in our subconscious, and doesn't necessarily all always come to the surface when we need it, but it is there and we can work to uncover it. That's basically the premise of the book. And the author goes into details into that, looking inward and awakening that spirit inside, so to speak. One example or tool that he gives to do this sort of thing is when we read, we're reading on a topic, but at times, if we just kind of back off a little as we're reading, other ideas will surface. And those ideas that the book is prompting, ideas that are internal, that are inside, or prompting knowledge that is inside. So if we take our time reading a book, we pause every now and then instead of just blasting through it and trying to scarf up whatever we can, the book acts as a prompt to sort of mine our genius. That's just like one example of how he talks about awakening your genius. And I think this book, I mean, you know, of all the books I read, there's a lot each year that are, you know, could make this list. But the reason that I put this one in the list here is because I lived it. I absolutely lived it the last 20 years of my life, because I went through a lot of sort of means and ways that he talks about in the book, and it made a huge difference in my life. A lot of times we like a book because we say to ourselves, I like that because I am like that. And that's exactly why this book resonated with me.
I particularly like a phrase that you just used a little bit ago, the hamster wheel of life and business. That describes so much and so many people and so much of people's lives. You really have to get outside of that. And I like your comment about reading the book and pausing to think about what it's saying. You know, you're right. So many times you just burn through books, you know, and don't really give it the consideration. I'm going to get that book and read it. That sounds really terrific.
Yeah, I have a project on the back burner right now where I am going to put together a paper describing how I approach the whole reading, writing, researching spectrum. But one of the things that I also do in reading a book, and I don't do it every time, but a lot of times I'll sit before I start reading the book and think about things that I may want to manifest during the course of whatever work I'm doing. It may have nothing whatsoever to do with the book, but at least I'm sort of priming my subconscious. And inevitably, when I'm reading the book, ideas pop up. So it just, you know, kind of speaks to that. Sometimes back up a little bit, you know, take it in, don't blast through the book.
You know, one of the things, you're a fan of physical books and not Kindles and e-books. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's very, very hard for me to read an ebook.
Yeah. So the one thing that I like about Kindles, actually, there's a couple things, and there's some things I really don't like about them. But the one thing that I find most impactful is that you highlight in the Kindle, you can type in notes if you want, and then you can extract those all later. And to me, that is such a powerful thing because, you know, I highlight if I'm reading a physical book, I may highlight it, but I got to go back and find that place. And, you know, I've got all these dog-eared pages in there where I've highlighted the thing I wanted to go back to later. And the Kindle just makes that easy for me. You know, there's a lot of things I don't like about Kindles and I do like about physical books, but that one thing is really powerful for me.
Yeah, I certainly can appreciate that for sure.
Anyway, sorry, off topic discussion there.
Well, books, man. It's all on topic, I think, David. The last book it's an old book, actually, but it's the 25th anniversary edition of The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And if you got the first book, that book is completely outdated, worthless, not worth anything. That was,
really?
Yeah, that first book. In the 10th anniversary edition of the book, he actually changed the laws and updated stories. That book is not necessarily worthless anymore. I would say that book is still, you know, okay. This latest book, the laws stay the same, but he updates the stories. And the book was written kind of after COVID. So there's a lot of very fresh leadership material in that book that applies to today in the post-COVID world. But here's why I am so pumped up about this book, and that is that Maxwell describes leadership as influence. As a business owner, we want all of our people to be of positive influence to our community, our customers, our business partners, our coworkers, the leadership, and to their families. We want our people to be a positive influence to their families. Well, you can learn leadership by reading the 21 laws, but you're not going to learn leading until you start doing it. And the book provides plenty of applications under each law to start doing it, to start leading. You can immediately start doing things that's going to build your learning capabilities of leadership. For instance, the law of addition. The law of addition is leaders add value by seeing others. And, you know, that simply means we understand our people in a management sort of way. That means that we're doing weekly check-ins and staying in touch with our people, and then also adding value, whether or not we're providing resources, helping them along with their education, with their knowledge, that sort of thing. Once you start doing that, you're a leader. So if you help someone with, like, say, a service manager helps a service technician with providing them, say, a class or seminar, signing them up for it, engaging them with it, they're adding value. And that's a leadership activity. So this book, the 21 Law book, I highly recommend it for people who are getting into management or first time managers. And then also, the book is for everyone. I also have a leadership mastermind based on this book, and I've had pretty high level leaders in this mastermind. And one of the comments that I get from them, almost every one of them, is, man, I really needed this. I sort of lost touch with some of this material, and that's really important. So it doesn't matter, a Fortune 500 company leader I could have in my mastermind, and I know for a fact they'd benefit from the material. Of course, if they approach it with the right mindset, but they could benefit from the material. So I'm excited about this book because it's more applicable than just for leadership positions. And here's the thing that I see already happening, and that is once company owners engage people, like, say, in the mastermind or reading the book, there's a lot of companies out there doing book clubs on it. But once they engage them in it, the leaders of the company can see who their potential leaders really are. They will surface. You can see it probably better in the mastermind, but if they're engaging the content of the book and they're watching how their people are interacting with it, then they're going to be able to tell who the leaders of the future are. So that's really the reason I'm really excited about this book.
I am struck by the fact that you said that the first edition really isn't that good. And it's not until the 10th edition that it starts to get really good. And then the latest edition is really terrific. The history of that is amazing and really fascinating to me. So thanks for bringing that out.
I don't necessarily mean that the first edition isn't good. It's just outdated. It's changed.
Yeah.
That's the key.
This is the leadership Bible, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
It's the one that everybody refers to. If you're going to be a manager, you're going to be a leader, this is the book you need to read. And of course, I think as you pointed out, really most effective if you have a group to work this book with, right? A mastermind class or something like that. Yeah.
Right. You get your bang for the buck out of that environment as opposed to just reading the book. And if you just read the book and don't do any of the exercises or application, like I said, you're learning leadership, but you're not going to be a leader because of it.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for doing this. This has been informative and interesting. There's a couple books here I'm going to buy for sure. And this year, not one of the books that you mentioned have I read. So far, often I've read one of them or heard about one of them. I mean, I've heard of the John Maxwell, of course, but it's a very unique list. So I really appreciate it.
I do have another one for you. And we're not going to get into the whole description on the book, David, but because this is so suited for you, it's How to Know a Person by David Brooks.
So I saw that you mentioned that on Facebook and thought, oh my gosh, he's pointing this directly at me because you even mentioned podcasting in there. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to have to get that book. And I think I mentioned it in the comments. So Jim Henshaw bought it for me as a Christmas gift.
Nice. How cool. How cool. Yeah, you're going to love that book.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
Yeah. Well, David Brooks is a great writer and a very thoughtful guy. He writes great stuff. But thank you for doing all this. This is terrific. You mentioned that you run a mastermind. I know you also speak and write and teach. If someone wanted to reach you, what would be a good way for them to do that?
Best way to reach me is dave@gotimesuccessgroup.com.
Got it. Okay. Thanks for this time with us. Thanks for the book recommendations. Keep on reading. I look forward to interviewing you again next year.
Oh, sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on, David.
Hi, this is David again. Three quick notes. One, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. Two, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. Three, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support.